With me, please, to Genesis chapter 46 as we continue our journey together looking at the life of Joseph. And today we come to chapter 46. Be reading the first seven verses as we look at this story together. The scripture declares, Moses writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, telling us the event, said that, so Israel set out with all that it was his. And when he reached Beersheba, he offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. And God spoke to Israel in a vision at night and said, Jacob, Jacob, here I am, he replied. I am God, the God of your father, he said. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you into a great nation there. And I will go down to Egypt with you and will surely bring you back again. And Joseph's own hand will close your eyes. Then Jacob left Beersheba, and Israel's sons took their father Jacob and their children and their wives and the carts that Pharaoh had sent to transport him. They also took with them their livestock and the possessions they had acquired in Canaan, and Jacob and all his offspring went to Egypt. He took with him to Egypt his sons and grandsons and his daughters and granddaughters and all his offspring. And if you drop down to verse 27, it says, with the two sons who were born to Joseph in Egypt, the member of Jacob's family which went to Egypt were 70 in all. And the Lord always adds his blessing to the reading of his word. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us, your truth revealed by your Holy Spirit, for our living, that we can learn from your word, know you better, and Lord, know how to live in a way that honors you. So if I pray, Lord, that through your word again this morning, you would speak to our hearts. We thank you for revealing yourself to us in this personal way. So through your word, speak to us today. Bring glory to yourself through your Son, and may we see you anew and afresh through Jesus Christ, in whom we pray. Amen. How many of you have ever moved before? Boy, isn't that fun to move? And I've moved several times in my life. And it's amazing how when you go to move, all the stuff you accumulate over the years. You know, and you start to go through things and sort through, what am I going to move? What am I going to take with me? What am I going to get rid of? What am I going to keep? And you really accumulate all kinds of things over the years. And moving can be a very stressful time, can it not? And it can be very hard. We've all seen these family who he was shooting at some crew in his yard in one day, and he ended up shooting and discovering an oil well, and he was told, pack up all your stuff and all your belongings and load it and move out to California. So they packed everything they had on their wagon and on their jalopy and headed out to a better life in Beverly Hills. But moving can be stressful. But try moving at an age of 130. Would anybody want to try to move at the age of 130? I hear no. That's what Jacob was about to do. He had heard the news, had gotten back to him from the brothers, from his sons, had arrived and returned back to Canaan from their trip to Egypt, where Jacob had revealed himself to them and had forgiven them and loaded them down with all the gifts from Pharaoh. And all the carts that were full, and they returned back to Jacob and told the news that Joseph is alive. And Joseph says, I'm going to go down and see Joseph. So at the age of 130, he decides he's going to leave. That's a major decision in life, and moving is a major decision. And there are some lives make change, decisions like moving, which is very consequential and life-changing. This was going to be a life-changing decision for Jacob that was going to impact his family and his descendants for generations to come. And every one of us make decisions. And how do you know what decision to make? How do you know whether you go or whether you stay? How do you know whether it's God's will for you to go this way or this way? We all make decisions every day, and some are very basic, like, what am I going to have for breakfast this morning? That's a pretty simple decision. For me, it's cereal and a banana. For Gary, it's a donut, glazed donut. I just found that out this morning. She says, keep that quiet. Or maybe it's a decision, what am I going to wear? What am I going to put on when I get dressed this morning? Those are some decisions that are basic, that they're not really consequential. They're not really life-changing. They're just a part of life. But there are some decisions that can be life-changing. The case of Jacob here, moving down to Egypt. Or who do we marry? Or what's my career going to be? Or a lot of decisions that can be really monumental. And how do we know where God's leading and direction in those decisions to be? How do we know which road to take when we're standing at a crossroads and say, do I go this way or this way? Well, we're going to look at the Word of God this morning and discover some principles to help us discern how we can choose or know which road to take, whether we go or whether we stay. And looking at what it is, there are three principles before making any decision we're going to discover this morning. As we look at the stories, it continues, Jacob packing up all his belongings and heading down to Egypt, and we can learn from him. The first thing, principle, is to seek the Lord's direction. Before you make any decision, major decision in life, or any decision, stop and ask God's direction. We see that from Jacob because that's what he did here. As the chapter opens up, Israel set out with what was his, and he reached Beersheba. We'll talk about that in a minute. And there he offered sacrifice to the God of his father, Isaac. Seek the Lord's direction, which means to take time to worship him. Often we will rush into a decision and we'll rush into an action before stopping to seek God's direction. Where is he leading in this? Or his will, or even to worship. Now, put yourself in Jacob's place. Especially those of you that have children and grandchildren. And here you've been separated from your beloved son, who was your favorite, who you thought was dead for 22 years. Let that fall on you. You thought for 22 years, you thought he was dead. Now you get a word that he's alive and he's sending for you and he wants to see you. Wouldn't you be full with emotion and, man, want to rush down there to see him right away? Wouldn't you be so full of emotion saying, man, I'm going to go and act before we stop to think, well, wait a minute, is this really what God wants me to do, or am I just filling my heart? See, sometimes we can make decisions out of emotion and out of what we feel that can end up being a wrong decision. Have you ever done that? You make a decision based on emotion, and it ends up being not the decision we should have went, the road we should have took. So take time first to seek God, to worship him. And that's what he did. It said when he got to Beersheba, to put that in so you can understand a little bit where that is, that's right here. Beersheba is the southernmost border of Canaan. He was living in Hebron. And he came down to Beersheba, which was in the southern border, right before he was going to leave out of Canaan and go over to Goshen to Egypt. So before he left the land that God had promised him, he said, God, I'm going to seek your will first. I want to stop and worship you. And is this really what you want me to do? Or am I letting my heart dictate my actions? So take time to worship. Why? Because he had learned from the tragic mistake he had learned from the tragic mistake of rushing into action before seeking God's will. So take time to worship the Lord through his word, and then take time to listen to what he says. So as Jacob stopped there and he offered to sacrifice, God spoke to him and called him by name and said, "Jacob, Jacob." And he said, "Lord, here I am. I'm listening. I'm ready for your direction. I sought you. I opened my heart to you in worship and in your word, seeking you. And now I'm ready to listen." And God spoke to him. And he had learned the tragic mistake from his family. So he had taken the time to listen, because go to Genesis chapter 12. Why was it important that Jacob learn to stop and seek God's will before he left Canaan? Chapter 12 of Genesis tells us one of the reasons. In chapter 12 of Genesis, God had called his grandfather, Jacob's grandfather, Abraham. The chapter opens in verse 1 by saying that God said to him, "Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I show you. And I will make you into a great nation there, and I will bless you. I will make your name great and make you a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples will be blessed on earth through you." So Abraham left as the Lord had told him, and he was 75, and he went to the land of Canaan, and he arrived there. God had told him to leave your homeland, go to Canaan. That's where God called him to go, because God was going to give that land to him as a blessing to his descendants. He obeyed and he went, but then look at verse 10. There was a famine in the land. What was going on at the time of Jacob's life? What was happening now? There was a famine, right? So there was a famine in the land, and Abram, where did he go? He left and he went where? Down to Egypt to live there for a while, because the famine was severe. As he was about to enter Egypt, did he pray? Did he seek God's direction? No. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarah, "I know you're a beautiful woman, and when I get to Egypt, they're going to desire you, so you lie and say you're my sister." So he went down to Egypt without seeking God's direction, not trusting in the promise of God to provide for him in Canaan, and he got into trouble. You know what happened? And Pharaoh noticed Sarah and desired her for himself. And he lied and eventually was given Hagar, and there were consequences that erupted, and we're still reaping the consequences today of his choice to go down to Egypt without first seeking God's direction. So Jacob learned that. He saw what happened to his grandfather when the famine broke out, and he left to go to Egypt without consulting the Lord. God's will for him was to stay in Canaan. Okay, go to verse chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26. Chapter opens up in verse 1 by saying, what was going on? What was happening? There was a famine in the land besides the earlier famine of Abraham's time. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. And the Lord appeared to Isaac and said, "Do not go down to Egypt or live in the land where I told you to live. Stay in the land for a while, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give these lands and confirm the oath I swore to Abraham, your father Abraham, and I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky and give them the lands and your offspring, and all nations will be blessed through you because Abraham obeyed me and kept my requirements." And when the man of that place saw his wife, he said, "She is my sister," and he was afraid to say she was my wife, the same mistake his father had made. And when the time of the famine came, Isaac was going to leave and go down to Egypt again. There was something about the desire to flee to Egypt and not stay where God had promised him to be. So Jacob didn't want to make that same mistake. And he sought the Lord first. "I'm not going to move." He said, "Yes, Joseph, Sarah, and I want to go down, but I'm not going to move until God gives me the go-ahead. Until I have the assurance from him." Why? Because, see, God's covenant and promise and blessing was with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and their descendants. And God's blessing was going through them. And Jacob knew that. Jacob also knew that God's covenant promise was tied to the land of Canaan, not Egypt. It was the land of Canaan that God had promised to give to Abraham and his descendants, not Egypt. And he knows, if I leave God's land of promise and I go to Egypt, am I forsaking the promise that God's given? Am I going out of the will of the Lord? And so Jacob wanted to make sure. So he sought God, he listened for God's counsel, and he listened for God's advice. So before you're making any major decision, seek the direction of the Lord through worship, and then listen to what he has to say and be still before him and listen, because he will speak. Second, take God's word to heart. Whatever he says to you, whatever he confirms to you through his Holy Spirit, through his word, through maybe through the counsel of a Christian friend or a pastor or a mature believer who gives you counsel and direction and feel this is what I feel God's will is for you in the decision you're about to make, whatever that is, then take God's word to heart and act on it. Notice what God the Lord told him. He said, here I am, I'm listening. And the Lord said, I am God, the God of your father. He said, do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you into a great nation there. I will go down to Egypt with you, and I will surely bring you back again, and Jacob's own hand will close your eyes. God had given him permission to go. So Jacob, with the permission of the Lord, said, I will move forward, and he will obey. It means to trust his word. And God made promises to Jacob here, and he said, I will make you a great nation. I will go with you there. Yes, you're leaving the land of promise, but I will go with you there. My presence will be with you. I will not forsake you. I will bless you there. I will bring about my will and promise, and I will confirm my covenant, and I will bring you back to this land again. And even Joseph will attend to you in your time of your death. I will watch over you. So go forward, trust in my promise. And God has given us promises in his word. And when he speaks to you and I, take his word to heart and trust what he says. But so often we let those doubts come in. But to trust and to believe and to act on it. And to act on it means to move forward and to obey it. And to trust that what he has said, he will do. And then to obey his word. And Joseph did, and he left, and he went on down to Egypt after seeking the will and seeking the heart and the leading of the Lord's Spirit. Now there's a close tie in Scripture from the times of Abraham all the way through the Old Testament between Israel and Egypt. Israel always wanting to flee down to Egypt for some reason, and always looking to Egypt. And God took Israel out of Egypt when he brought them out of the Exodus. But he had a very hard time getting Egypt out of Israel. Israel wanted to keep returning back. There was something about the attraction of wanting to flee to Egypt, of wanting to flee there for security or safety or provision. Instead of fleeing to the Lord in his presence, they wanted to keep fleeing and returning back to Egypt. There was something about that. Egypt is a picture of our old life under slavery to sin. In the New Testament, it's applied that way, and it's a picture of what our life was like in bondage and slave when we were enslaved under the old life. It's a picture of living life outside the covenant blessings of God, of going our way instead of God's way, of going our will instead of his. God told Israel, I brought you out of Egypt. And I did an interesting study this week, just looking up that phrase. God's command to Egypt, I brought you out of Egypt. And every time almost he spoke to them, the Old Testament, he reminded by saying, I brought you out of Egypt. I brought you out of Egypt. I brought you out of Egypt. Then he went on to tell them out something else. Why do you think that was? When God says something one time, it's important. When he keeps saying it over and over and over and over again, we need to get it. And I don't think Israel ever did. And every time he spoke to them, first thing he says, I brought you out of Egypt. I brought you out of Egypt. To us, he's telling us, I brought you out of Egypt. Why? Because being taken out of Egypt is a picture of our redemption, salvation and justification by faith in the blood of the Lamb. The Exodus is a picture of that. When the blood of the Lamb was shed and being brought out of Egypt was being redeemed from the slavery of sin and being saved. And it's a picture of our salvation. But being taken out of Egypt is also a picture of our sanctification. Being set apart and distinct as a holy nation and as a peculiar people. Because when Israel was brought out of Egypt in salvation, they were brought out to be a distinct nation separate from the nations around them and to live a people dedicated and holy to God. And both of those apply to us. But it's something about that lore of going back, because we have a desire to rely on Egypt. And Egypt there means relying on ourself, relying on anything other than the Lord himself. And so in consulting him, making a decision, often we try to do it ourselves. The scripture says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Don't rely on our own understanding. Don't rely on anything else, but consulting him and looking to the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 31, verse 1, God said to Isaiah the prophet, and this was a time when they were being attacked, they were being threatened by enemy nations going to overtake them. And he said to them in chapter 31, 1, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help, who rely on horses, who trust in the multitude of their chariots and in the great strength of their horsemen, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel or seek help from the Lord. Israel had a tendency that whenever they were in trouble, whenever they had a need, they wouldn't run to God, they would run to Egypt. They would run back to the old ways. And don't we have a tendency to do that too? To run back to Egypt, to run back to the old ways, or to rely on something else instead of God. And so taking God's word to heart is to apply it, is to live it fully, and to do what he calls us to do. We also have a desire to return to Egypt. Even though God brought us out, even though God redeemed us and God gave us new life, sometimes we have a desire to go back to those old ways, don't we? Israel, through the Old Testament and their wilderness wanderings, as they wandered through the wilderness for 40 years, they kept wanting to go back to Egypt. And they kept complaining to Moses. They said, Lord, Moses, they said, take us back to Egypt. We're tired of this in the wilderness. Every day God provided them the food they needed, and they said, we're tired and sick of this manna. They said, back in Egypt, we had cucumbers, we had leeks, we had onions, we had garlic, we had the best of the food. And I was reading that this week, and it said, and they said, and it didn't cost us anything. But did they forget they were slaves then? But they kept wanting to go back to that. And there's something about us, the attraction of the old life, or the old ways keep calling us back. But we're to be set apart. We're to be different. Because we have that desire of wanting to return back as Egypt, Israel did. And when the nation of Judah was taken into captivity, where do you think those who left behind fled to? You guessed it. Egypt. That's where they decided they wanted to go. They wanted to go back to Egypt. And that's where they fled to for safety. Jeremiah chapter 42 records it. Jeremiah chapter 42, it's interesting. Here's what is happening. The nation of Judah has fallen. The best of the land, the nobles and the best were taken into captivity. Daniel, Ezekiel, and all the nobles, they were taken into captivity in Babylon. They left the poorer people behind to stay behind. And those who were behind, they came to Jeremiah the prophet. And look what he said, verse chapter 42, verse 4, because it's important. They came to Jeremiah, and he said, I've heard you, replied Jeremiah the prophet. I will certainly pray to the Lord your God as you requested, and I will tell them everything the Lord says, and they will keep nothing. And they said to Jeremiah, verse 5, may the Lord be true and faithful witness against us if we do not act in accordance with everything the Lord your God sends you to tell us. whether it is favorable or unfavorable, we will obey the Lord to whom our God, to whom we are sending you, so it will go well with us, for we will obey the Lord. So they sent Jeremiah, they said, go to the Lord, inquire of him, should we stay here in Jerusalem, or should we go to Egypt? What should we do? And we'll do whatever the Lord tells us, we will obey. So Jeremiah inquired of the Lord. 10 days later, he came back with the answer. And the answer basically was, if you stay in Judah, I will protect you, you will be safe, but if you leave and go to Egypt, you're going to die there. So he comes back with the word, verse 19, O remnant of Judah, the Lord has told you, do not go to Egypt. Be sure of this, I warn you today that you have made a fatal mistake when you sent me to the Lord your God and said, pray to the Lord your God for us, tell us everything he says and we will do it. I have told you today, but you still have not obeyed the Lord your God who sent me to tell you. So now be sure of this, you will die by sword, famine, or plague if you go down. Verse chapter 41 says, when Jeremiah finished telling the people the words of the Lord their God and everything the Lord said to them, they said to him, you are lying. The Lord our God has not sent you to tell us what to say. You must not settle in Egypt there. But you want us to be handed over to the Babylonians. So verse 7 says, they entered Egypt in disobedience to the Lord and went as far as Tahpenes. So there God said, don't go. Whatever the Lord tells us, we will obey. We will listen. We will heed. Jeremiah comes back with the word of the Lord. And they said, nope. God didn't speak to you, you're lying, we're going to go anyway. And they went down to Egypt in disobedience to the Lord, and they did die there. If they would have stayed, they would have been provided and protected for. So taking God's word to heart, that means to trust his word, to trust in the promises, and to believe and to obey what he tells us to do. In this case, God had given Jacob the go-ahead to go into Egypt, so he was going to go third. Which takes us to the third thing, and that is to move forward in faith. Jacob then, after getting the approval from the Lord, then moved forward, and he left Beersheba and Israel's sons with them, and they went down to Jacob, and they went and took all their carts and took all their offsprings and grandson, and they left Canaan, and Jacob was never going to return again. He was going to die in Egypt, but leaving the land of promise and going down to Egypt to see Joseph. But he went forward in faith, rejoicing in the goodness of God, because God had given him the direction, God had given the clearance to go, and knew that he was in the will of God to do it, and rejoiced knowing that God had a good plan, and God was reuniting the family again, and God was showing his goodness and all the blessings that he provided. But also moved forward in faith, trusting in the sovereignty of God, because God had said to him, I will go with you and surely bring you back again. And yes, God was taking him down to Egypt, but Jacob knew that God had a sovereign plan and purpose that he was working out. And he was going to fulfill it. Because 70 went down to Egypt, but more were going to come out. Go with me to Genesis chapter 15. And we'll see what the Lord said to Jacob's grandfather. Genesis chapter 15. Beginning at verse 12, God is confirming the covenant to Abraham that he was going to be a great nation. And it says, as the sun was setting, Abraham fell into a deep sleep, and a thick, dreadful darkness came over him. Verse 13, and the Lord said to him, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own. They will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will grow to your fathers in peace and be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. And when the sun had set, darkness had fallen, a smoking firepot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. And on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, to your descendants, I will give this land from the river of Egypt to the great river of the Euphrates. So God made the covenant, and he said, your descendants are going to go down into a land not their own, and they'll be mistreated for 400 years. And there I will still be with them. I will be bringing out my plan, and they will come back. So God, Jacob trusted in the sovereignty of God, and that 70 went down. But when they came out 400 years later, guess how many came out? 2 million. Because God was going to take them down to Egypt, and there he was going to bless them and multiply them greatly and to develop into a mighty nation that would be then ready to take possession of the land that God was going to give them. So trusting in the sovereignty and the goodness of God, that he has a plan and purpose for us. We may not always see it, and Jacob knew that. And he said to his brothers, you intended this whole thing for evil, but God intended it for good, for the saving of many lives. So when we're faced with those important decisions of life, before we rush into anything, before we respond by emotion, stop and seek the Lord's direction. Through worship, listen to his voice, through his word, through his spirit as he's speaking to you. Then take his word to heart, trust what he's told you, and move forward in obedience, and then move forward in faith, rejoicing in his goodness and trusting in his sovereign purpose that he will bring about. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your leading and guidance in our life, that you are sovereign and you have a plan and purpose. And we thank you that your ways are beyond ours, and that you are guiding and directing our steps. And the way of the righteous are ordered and directed by the Lord. And so, Lord, we all face many decisions every day. Some are very meaningful, meaningless decisions, but some really are impactful. And before we make those major changes, Lord, we need to stop and to seek your will. Help us, Lord, not to make decisions based on emotion or to rush into something before we stop and seek what is your way. Should we stay? Should we go? Which path should we take? And so, Lord, to seek your will, your direction through worship time, through coming before you, through listening and being still before you, to listen to your voice. And then, Lord, when you do speak and you do confirm that, to take your word to heart, to trust in the promises you've given us, and to move forward and to obey you, to go your way, not to hear your word and then reject it. But then, Lord, also to move forward in faith, rejoicing in your goodness, and you have a good plan for us and purpose, and to trust in your sovereignty, that you will bring it about. We may not understand it at the time, but you are at work, and you are involving, you are revealing your plan that you are executing for us. So thank you, Lord, for your word that guides and directs, for you guide and direct, that you are our good shepherd. And Lord, as you lead us, help us to be your faithful followers. But to follow you, we need to hear and recognize your voice. And then we need to be so close to you that we can hear that voice and not be distracted. And so many times the enemy likes to do that, distract us so that we can't hear your voice clearly. But Lord, may we be intimate you, close to you, to hear your voice, follow you well in the way that you lead us through the Father and through your Spirit. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.